Let's keep our hearts and minds set up on Christ as we look in His Word this morning in Titus in chapter 2. We're going to continue in our study there. Last week, we really focused on the aged men of the congregation, and I forewarned you ladies that we would be addressing you this morning, and since that time, I'm like, where do you begin? With all the issues that women have, where do we begin? That was supposed to be funny. I might have got myself in a little bit of trouble. But no, we look in Scripture and we find some very telling truths about the ladies in the church. Again, it is not a separation of believers, but it is one ministry. It is one church. It is one body where everyone is filling their particular role for the glory and honor of Christ. Each one of us has a vital role in this body, in this ministry, for the exaltation of the head, which is Jesus. So with the ladies this morning, we're going to begin here in Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. And we'll be looking at the aged ladies of the church and also some with the young ladies of the church. So let's begin Titus chapter 2, beginning verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. For what purpose? That the word of God be not blasphemed or discredited. Let us pray. Father, we humbly bow once again before your presence, asking your hand of blessing to be upon the service through the preaching and the proclamation of your word here this morning. Give us hearts and minds that are receptive to this truth, that we would be more equipped, better equipped, for the work that is ahead, for the ministry that you have entrusted to each and every one of us. Father, help us to look at the task at hand and take it to heart, knowing that we will give an account for how we fulfilled each ministry in which you have entrusted unto us. May we not be like that unfaithful servant who went and hid their talent in the ground. Oh, but God, may we be anticipating the return of Christ, knowing that our Savior, our King, is coming again. And we are to be faithful in the work that you have called us to. Our aged men and our young men, faithful to the work of the ministry. Our aged women and our young women, faithful to the work in ministry. Faithful until you come again. There's not a point of retirement. There's not a point where we can sit on the sidelines and wait one round out. No, there is to be a calling upon our lives where we are continually involved in ministry, ministering to your people, ministering in such a way that brings glory and honor to Jesus so that his word would not be blasphemed. Father, help us to communicate that truth here this morning to your people for your glory. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Here, as Paul's writing here, he says, as with the aged men, there's these certain virtues that godly men, men who have been called out by God's grace, who have been saved, there are these virtues, these godly virtues that are exuded in the life of a believer. Virtues that are guided, as the Apostle Paul says, by sound doctrine. And this sound doctrine, as it is being proclaimed and people are living this truth out, that sound doctrine, as people are living it out, he says, it adorns the doctrine of Christ. It's not something that adds to it, makes it more beautiful or anything like that. It's something that we get to participate in pointing the world to Jesus Christ. But I tell you this, these virtues that the Apostle Paul listed here for men and women, they're impossible to live out apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. How come? Well, Paul told the Corinthian believers in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, he says, the natural man, that man in his fallen state, a man apart from Christ, says is not able or does not receive the things that are of the Spirit of God. How come? They are foolishness unto them. It says, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. How can we know that someone is truly a possessor of Christ, someone who truly knows Jesus, instead of just someone who professes to know Christ, whose life, though, does not bear truth to the fact that they truly know Jesus? Is that the Holy Spirit is doing a work in an individual believer, and he is producing the fruit unto his glory. We cannot take credit for any of it. These virtues, though, stand in stark contrast to the rest of the society around them. This would have been absurd to the people of Crete. These virtues that we're going to look at this morning concerning our aged ladies of the church and our young women of the church, they would have been considered extreme or radical on the island of Crete. And let me say this, they're extreme and radical in our world today. The world does not want to live according to the precepts of God's word. They don't want to live according to the truth that we find in scriptures. And to exhort someone, especially a lady, to live by these virtues, to live by these truths, would have been and are considered radical amongst many people today. What virtues are radical? Well, we look again, just verses 3 through 5. All that we see here, these are the virtues that the world deems extreme and radical. In today's society, many women discourage other women from staying at home or raising their children. Many feminists consider the very thought demeaning and worthless. Not only are they discouraged from living such a life or living out these truths, they're considered foolish and weak-minded. That's what the world thinks of Christian women. And many, I'm afraid to say, women have bought into this lie, leaving their children to fend for themselves and giving into the world to fill up their empty dreams and to fill their minds with an ungodly, evil world view that does not know Christ. And the world, especially extreme feminists, in their feeble attempts, try to eliminate any need of God in a home. But let me tell you this. There is not a more noble, more fulfilling, more God-honoring calling than that of being a wife and a mother. It is one of the toughest jobs that I know. Many years ago, I think we had about 5 children at the time, Katie had some friends that were going on a cruise, and they had invited Katie to go. And she said, no, there's too much to do at home. We have 5 children, and John Paul, he needs a lot of help. And she just could not see any possible way to go. And I encouraged her, no, go. You've never been, you know, away from our family since we've been married. You've never had an opportunity like this. And in my heart and in my mind, I'm thinking, man, I am going to be like dad of the year. I'm going to receive the Dad of the Year award. And I encouraged her to go. And I said, no, go. Things will be good here. And I had a list that I was going to accomplish while she was gone. The laundry was going to be done. The kids were going to be fed. The dishes were going to be done and put away. The home was going to be clean and immaculate. All the honey-do lists were going to be accomplished. The kids were going to learn, and I was going to teach them that whole entire time that she was gone. And on day 3, I had lost all control. Zion, I remember clearly, he might have been 3 at the time. He ran to one side of a window at our door, and he was pounding on the window, and he's going, Mom, Mom. And I went to the other window, and I started pounding on the door. I was like, Katie, Katie. I really was contemplating, how can I get a helicopter out to that ship and bring her home quickly? Pastor Ryan, I called in reinforcements, and he stayed a day, and he never came back. Food was scarce. Kids were barely clothed. I don't know if anyone ever brushed their teeth that week. And day 3, we just started using whatever was clean to eat off of. I learned that week that Katie will never go on a vacation again unless she takes all the kids or all of us. But what a God-honoring calling to be a mother, to be a wife. Ladies, you have such profound abilities that God has entrusted to you. And to not use those would be selfish and prideful and would not honor God. Our aged women have a great responsibility and ministry within this church body. You are needed here, ladies. Not only needed, you are wanted. You have a vital role in the Christian body at large, but especially here at Faith Baptist. Aged ladies, you have a vital role. And in many circumstances, your ministry may not show forth its fruit until eternity. But I promise you this, you are planting seeds that will grow and grow and grow, and Christ will be exalted. Titus here was tasked with the responsibility of preaching this truth, and Paul was confident that all of the aged women and all of the young women who heard this truth, those who were saved, would respond by living out these Christian virtues to honor Christ. Aged women who have been in the faith for multiple years, they have a heart for Jesus. They have a heart for His Word. And when the Word is proclaimed, when the Word is taught faithfully and clearly and accurately, aged women respond to the truth of God's Word. And if their heart or their character is contrary to the Word of God, their hearts will be convicted and their character changed. Here, we're going to look at these virtues briefly this morning. He says here, the aged women likewise, that they what? Like the men, have a vital role in the church, have a responsibility to Christ, to live out these virtues. Why? Because it shows that Christ is living in you. Aged women are called to live lives that are reverent and holy, not only in their dress, but also by their demeanor, their character, their conduct, their conversation. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, says, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. You want to know what's beautiful to God? A heart that desires to serve Him. God is not impressed by your hair, the style of your hair. He's not impressed by the jewelry that you wear. He's not impressed by any of those things. God desires nothing more than a faithful heart that seeks to honor and to please Him. That's what God desires. As opposed to someone here, as we look, this negative aspect of it, as opposed to women who are slanderers or false accusers. This word here, slander, in the Greek is diabolos. Do you know what that word is? It is referring 34 different times in the New Testament to the devil. Someone who is a slanderer is like the devil. And I tell my children pretty often, if I catch them in a lie, I tell them, you are more like Satan when you lie, because he's a father of lies. And so here we have to be careful, ladies, that we are not slanders, that we're not gossips. The devil is a liar, and the Bible says he's been one from the beginning. We don't want to have the reputation of being a gossip or a slander or maligning someone's name. A godly aged woman, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, will be able to bridle her tongue. This little member is responsible for all sorts of destruction and ungodliness, even in the church. In Proverbs 13, we read this, says, he that keeps his mouth keeps his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Peter addresses it as well in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. He says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. James in the ESV in chapter 3 and verse 6 says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell." He says again in James chapter 1, verse 26, "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless." Those are pretty profound words. That's a pretty profound statement. Someone who's known to be a slanderer or a gossip, your religion, whatever you profess, you can profess to love Jesus, and you can profess to love the church. You can profess to love the Bible. You can profess to love your brother and sister in Christ. But here James is saying a person who is known, a known slanderer or a known gossip, that person's religion is worthless. Wow, that seems to me that would be blaspheming the word of God. Oh, ladies, be careful. What destruction is brought about with the tongue? I encourage you to be women of the word. How do we combat this? How do we combat this desire? How do women combat that desire to gossip or to the desire to slander? And I believe it all starts out pretty innocently, but it's something that our hearts are given to pretty quickly. How do we do that? How do we battle that? Will you be women of the word, whose hearts are always guided by truth? Why? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you are continually filling your heart with truth, with the word of God, that's what is going to come out. Thereby, your life is going to be lived in such a way as you read and study and feast off the word of God. Truly, let that be the lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Then again, he says, these aged ladies must not be addicted to much wine. Now, I hope that is not something that the aged women of Faith Baptist Church struggle with, but it certainly was with the women on the island of Crete. We're not told why, but it's something that the Apostle Paul addresses here. But what we do find is that there are other things that are intoxicating to ladies. It doesn't have to be strong drink. It doesn't have to be wine. But there are other pressures found. What are those things? And just a few other things that are intoxicating to all women. What I've found is that flattery, praise, attention, wealth, beauty, position, power, those things are intoxicating to all women. Wine or strong drink may not be a temptation to you, ladies, but some of these other things might be. And it is vital that you quickly identify those things so they would not be a temptation to you, so that you would take them to the throne of God and implore Him that He would help you to overcome these things that might be detrimental to your ministry, to your life, to your testimony. And Paul, encouraging Titus here to write these things, he says, if any of these are in your life, in the life of an aged teacher, what is he talking about? This character or these virtues of holiness, these aged women that are not false accusers, these aged women that are not given to much wine, these aged women that are, instead of all of those negative things in a lady's life, that they are teachers of good things. And that word teacher means to come alongside and to bear up, to instruct, to teach. One who comes to train. Someone who's a teacher of good things stand as a testimony of God's grace and provision to those who sit under their guidance. And therefore, you teach other women these virtues. There are aged women in my life that are just pillars of truth. They have been encouragers. They have been comforters. When I have made big mistakes, it's always the aged ladies of the church that are the first ones to quick and kind of come alongside you, encourage you in your walk of faith. I consider my mom to be one of these people. Here's a lady who loves Jesus, who loves His word, who loves to teach other young women about these godly virtues and encourage them to honor Christ. Yes, there is a great need in our churches for aged women and these aged women, you need to take heart, for there is a great responsibility laid upon your shoulders. Your presence, your experience, and your love for Jesus is a vital aspect to ministry. You are a necessary tool in the gospel ministry, and your godly counsel will mean the world to broken homes, to broken marriages. The opportunity that you have to help salvage broken homes and broken marriages, or relationships that are on the rocks, you have the ability to come alongside and to bear young ladies up. Now, some of you aged ladies might be thinking, well, I come from a broken marriage. Maybe your home wasn't what you would have considered to be the model picture of the perfect Christian family. And maybe in your heart, the enemy of your soul right now is causing you to think, well, I'm in no position to help anyone. Oh, listen, ladies. We serve a Christ who redeems, has redeemed all of our mistakes. He has redeemed all of our failures. We serve a God, as the Bible says, who knows our frame and knows that we are but dust. Let me tell you here this morning, church, there was a time in my life that my life was broken. My life was in shambles. I was so far away from God that I did not ever think there was any chance of salvation for me. I was living a wicked, I thought unredeemable life, a life that certainly God would judge. But Christ did not cast me away. Christ takes all of your brokenness, all of your failures, and he redeems it for his glory. He redeems it for himself, and he uses that. As I look throughout scriptures and I see from the very beginning of time, people who have failed over and over and over again, but yet God redeems each and every person, each and every circumstance, and he redeems it for his glory. Now, your life may not have been perfect, but our Savior is. We're not pointing people to a life. We're pointing people to a Savior. And today, your home may have been broken. Today, your marriage may have been broken. Jesus is not broken. Jesus is the Redeemer. Jesus is the Healer. Jesus is the one that has given his life so that we might live. So you don't point people to a perfect marriage. Because guess what? There are no perfect marriages. None. There are no perfect families. You just spend a day in my home and you'll just see brokenness and chaos and all other things that I can't even confess to here in the pulpit this morning. But God has redeemed it all and he's good. I'm not telling people to live like Katie and I. I'm pointing people to Jesus. And ladies, if you've had a broken home or a broken marriage, and if you know Jesus today, you don't point people to your marriage. You point them to Jesus. He has not called you to be perfect. He has just called you to point to the one who is perfect. And that's the ability the Holy Spirit has. And this, the Holy Spirit will use your brokenness, your failures, as a means to come along some other young couple or a young lady and expose them to things that no, they should not do, but rather show them that all the consequences. Are there consequences to sin? Yes, there are. Oh, but Christ, man, he has enabled us to live in light of all of those things. And you can encourage young ladies to be what God has called them to be. So we hear, you instruct them in good things. You aged ladies, you teach younger women. What do you teach them? These virtues, to be sober. Again, not given to much wine, not intoxicated. Maybe not with wine or hard drink, but not to be intoxicated with flattery or praise or attention or wealth or beauty or power or prestige. And it seems to be that young women are given to that more than our aged ladies. And you can show them, aged ladies, the folly in those things and the brokenness that it brings to be sober, to have a sound mind. You can teach them, ladies, to love their husbands. And I know that is a tough task because this is not an emotional appeal to you here this morning. It never was an emotional appeal that Paul was referring to here. It's not like that first love type feeling. No, this is a love that is wrought out, that is worked out by effort and hard work. Paul was not referring to some emotional, superficial feeling, but a genuine love that is built upon a desire to honor Christ. If Katie's love and our family was built upon Katie's love that she has for me, that foundation is going to come crumbling down. But if her love for me is built upon the foundation for her love for Christ, it will stand the test of time. It will stand all the trials in life. And trust me, and those of you that have been married for some time, you know that there are trials in marriages. And if it were not but for God's grace, you would not see a family standing before you here today. No, we love our spouse. Aged ladies, you teach the young ladies to love their husbands and in his work. And it's built up on a desire ultimately, not necessarily solely for their love for their husband, but for their love for Christ. It involves work. It involves dedication. It involves sacrifice. Loving your husbands involves all the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of those are involved, ladies, to love your husbands. And aged ladies, you teach young ladies to do so. To love your children. That just seems like it would be something natural that would just flow forth from a lady's heart to love her children. But we see today that is not the case. Children, mothers aborting their children by the millions. And my heart breaks. Mothers abandoning their children daily, giving them up for adoption or leaving them on the doorsteps of someone's home. I just saw recently on the news a young lady had taken just a few month old baby in a basket and laid this child at someone's doorstep, and the camera on the doorbell caught the whole thing, and it just breaks my heart. Mothers just giving up on their children, and that is hard work. That is hard work for a mother to invest and to sacrifice daily. I can't even begin to imagine, mothers, what you feel on a daily basis. You clean the house, what happens if you have children? It becomes messy within seconds. I come home, I've done it before, and I've had to ask Katie for forgiveness, and I come home, and I don't say this outright. I'm like, have you not done anything today? You didn't have time to clean the house today. And I know that's wrong. But she has cleaned and she has cleaned and she has cleaned, and the kids are just like whirlwinds. But the Bible says where there are no oxen, the stalls are clean. So we have a lot of oxen in our house, and our stalls are never clean. And that's okay. But ladies, as you love your children, you invest in them. Do the part of loving and administering discipline for your children. Do you know that disciplining your children is loving them? Proverbs 13:24 says, he that spares his rod hates his child, but he that loves his child chastens him often. I know so many people like, oh, I would never discipline my child. I would never spank my child. But the proverb says here that if you do, if you spare the rod, you hate your child. Proverbs 29:17 says, correct your child and they will give you rest. He shall give delight unto your soul. So loving your children, it's an investment. It is sacrifice, but it's also discipline and training and investing. Aged women teach young women to love their children. What else? He says to be discreet, self-control, to literally have a saved mind, to be in control of emotions and desires. There are things in a woman's mind that I will never understand. There's things with a woman that Titus had no idea. So that's why Paul told Titus to have the aged women instruct the young women. He didn't say, Titus, you go teach the young women how to be women. Why didn't he have Titus do that? Titus has no idea. Titus had no idea what it was to be a woman. But aged women who have experience and who have been through life do. So to be discreet, to be self-controlled, to be chaste, to be pure, especially in their marriage. Oh, to love their husbands, to be obedient to their own husbands. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "For God has not called us to uncleanness, but into holiness." And in Hebrews 13, verse 4, it says, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." These are virtues that young women must have, that they must learn from the aged women. They're to be keepers at home. Not all women know how to do that. They have not been taught, maybe from their mothers, and it doesn't come natural to some. The aged women in our congregation have learned through experience those things that build up their home and those things that build or tear down their home. Now, let me say this. This is not a proof text that women are just solely to be in the home without outside the home vocation. But it does communicate this truth that a woman's priority is her home. The woman's priority is her husband and her children. A woman's priority is building up her husband, teaching her children, and living a godly example in front of her husband and children, showing them Christ. That does teach this. And it says here, to be good, kind, compassionate, hospitable, someone who's generous. I want you to turn with me real quick, real briefly here in 1 Timothy chapter 5. We're almost finished this morning. You know, I know this is referring to widows indeed. But there are these qualifications, these virtues that Paul was had written to Timothy to look in a faithful widow's life. And we look here beginning in verse 9, it says, "Let not a widow be taken into the number under threescore years old." Now look at these virtues. Having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. Now, ladies, I want you to look in your life. Are these virtues that when you survey your heart, are these virtues that would be found in your life? These are the virtues for which young Christian and aged Christian women must strive. Faithful to one man, a reputation that precedes her, a faithful and godly mother, nurturing her children, caring for them, loving them, and most importantly, teaching them about Jesus. She must be hospitable to strangers, a desire to care for the needs of those who are in the body of Christ, to give to the needs of the hurting, and her desire is to do all that is within her power to follow biblical truths. Those are the virtues that must be found in godly women. And here, last but not least, obedient to their own husbands. Now let me say this. This does not mean, ladies, that you are a walking mat for an ungodly man. This is not total submission. This does not mean that a wife must be at her husband's beck and call or fulfill his every wish. No, the wife willingly and lovingly submits to her husband in a God-honoring way. But let me say this, men. If you are following hard after Christ, if you are a godly husband, your wife will willingly, lovingly follow your lead. You have a responsibility, man, but listen, wives. Just because if your husband does not lead godly does not mean that you cannot be obedient to him. You're called, you're exhorted to be obedient to him. We are followers of Christ. And she, the faithful wife, will know how to be obedient to her own husband, continually laying down her life for his, and vice versa, men. Matthew Henry wrote this: "The woman was made out of Adam's side. She was not made out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be loved. Oh, that was pretty profound. You know, what a great insight that is on a godly wife obeying her husband, being obedient to him. Aged ladies, younger ladies, why would you invest so much in these virtues? Why would you sacrifice so much? Why would you spend and be spent? Why would you be transparent and honest to be a help to someone else? Well, Paul wrote here so that the word of God would not be blasphemed or discredited. That's why. It is a worthy cause. Is that worth your time and sacrifice, ladies? I would pray that today that our hearts are gripped with the truth of God's word and that we have a desire like no other to honor Christ, especially in our marriages and in our homes. I pray that we help one another and encourage one another and exhort one another through scriptures, and that we come alongside one another, especially the aged women with the young women, to bear one another up. So many women today are looking for something more. I have never seen this show. I've seen commercials about it every once in a while, and it just grieves my heart. Desperate Housewives, have you guys ever heard of that? It paints a picture of a home that is not desirable, that there's something more exciting. And the world tries to drive your attention to something that is not godly. And so many people watch this Desperate Housewives show because women are looking for something more. They believe that the scriptural duties of a wife are menial and below them. Many believe there must be a higher calling for a woman. But hear what I just read to you. These things that Paul had written to Titus on the island of Crete, these are the means to honor Christ Jesus. And by honoring his word, I cannot think of a more noble calling for a woman than being called a follower of Christ. What a more noble calling than to follow Jesus. There's nothing more exciting than that to me, for a believer, than to answer that call of being faithful to his word. Let us do that, church, for his glory. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come to you today at the end of this service, beseeching your face. God, knowing that all of these virtues, Father, the natural man does not receive those things. He cannot know them, or she cannot know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So I pray for your hand of favor that you would help us, God, to live out these divine truths as a means to bring glory and honor to your word and ultimately glory and honor to Christ. Help our aged women to be faithful followers of Jesus. God, to understand they have a responsibility to come along the younger women of the church and to use the experience that you have allowed them to have as a means to bless them and to encourage them and to help them in their marriages and in their homes and in their relationships and ultimately in the service of Jesus Christ, our Savior and King. Oh God, just work a profound work in our heart and life that all of us will be used for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to come, or Gene's going to come and sing. So I'm going to encourage you to